Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
7:41 on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, who is handling Top 5 Tuesday in just a few moments. This segment is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Now, the Hawks did lose to the Pistons last night, 99-98. Atlanta did have a chance to win with 0.1 seconds left, but Jalen Johnson just couldn't get it done. He did have 29 points, 13 rebounds.
It's intense. It's intense. I will say this, too. This is a terrible, terrible scheduling mishap. I'm going to call it a mishap because it's ridiculous. You played two overtimes two nights ago, right? And then you have to play a team where you're a 9-point underdog, one of the best teams in the NBA in the Pistons. So you know, all things considered, they didn't play bad at all. Like this sounds so dumb to say. It was a nice effort.
Yeah.
You know, it was a nice effort. And you just couldn't get it done on the defensive boards the way you needed to. And it's been, how many times have we talked about that? It feels like that's an ongoing conversation. You also didn't get to the line at the rate you probably felt like you needed to going into the game, but it's just, I don't know. I think that they played better considering everything that goes into the time and the back-to-backs and the travel. They played better than I thought they would against the Pistons, who are a very, very good basketball team.
Yeah, they lost by – I mean, they lost at the end. They lost by a point. I mean, yeah, of course they played better. Jalen Johnson has just been phenomenal. And it – you just wonder, okay, when Trey comes back, what does this team look like? That's the question, really, where I think this team – you've got to give Quinn Snyder and Jalen Johnson, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who's been really good to me in this stretch. I mean, he had 26 again last night. And all these guys, you got to give them a lot of credit because when you heard Trey was going down so early in the season for an extended amount of time, it felt like, all right, well, there you go. That's us. Play-in game it is. And they've done better than expected. And now, you know, whenever I have a lot of friends at the Hawks, but I don't need an update on Trae Young to tell me that I'll have an update in 2 weeks, because that's what they sent out Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm getting on the plane and I go, oh, an update on Trae Young. I'm opening this email right now. And I look down and it goes, Trae Young, who you know was injured weeks ago, yada, 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 will have an update on him in 2 weeks. So you sent an update to tell me we'd have another update. Like, I was like, what are we doing? But, you know, just what is it going to be, Dylan, when he comes back? Can he come in and keep Jalen and these guys, you know, honestly performing like they are?
That's a very good question, and that is the exact thing I am wondering. That's the only thing I'm wondering about when Trae Young comes back, because we're going to keep it a bean, and I've talked about this before. I don't think the Hawks are better without Trae Young. I'm not on that narrative, but the ball movement is better, and the ball movement is different when Trae Young is in versus when Trae Young is out. And I'm just not sure what that ball movement is going to look like, if that same ball movement is going to be there when Trae Young comes back in. So Trae Young is going to have to do some adapting. It's going to be a thing where, look, Jalen Johnson deserves – close to the amount of touches and close to the amount of shots that you're getting a night, because that's what he's earned at this point. Nickeil Alexander-Walker needs to keep getting the same amount of touches he's been getting too, because he's been balling. Onyeka Okongwu needs those minutes. And then I know Kristaps Porzingis has been in and out of the lineup. Onyeka's going to need to start splitting those minutes a little bit more with KP as well. KP's been good when he's been in, but he hasn't been in that much, and Onyeka Okongwu has earned his minutes. So it's going to be interesting when this team is back at full health what all looks like, and if they can keep that same groove going that they have right now. And I know he hasn't been filling up the stat sheet, but I do want to take a little bit of time to give a major kudos and a major pat on the back to Dyson Daniels, because he has basically taken over that point guard role since Trae Young has been out, and he's been a really good facilitator. Again, the points haven't necessarily been there, but he's been flirting with the triple-doubles close to every night. I mean, last night I think he had 10, 5, and 5. And he's been around that, you know, again, he'll have 12 or 15, then 6 assists, 7 rebounds, something like that. He's been a really good facilitator, and he has had to take a step back as far as, you know, what his offensive role is and putting up the amount of points and getting the shots that he usually gets, because he's been more of a facilitator, more of a point guard. But he has been really good, and he has thrived in that role, taking over for Trae Young as far as that floor general. And the defense hasn't taken a step back either. But like you said, Bo and Mike, Jalen Johnson, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, those guys have been stepping up in a major way. And Mike, you said, and this last thing I'll say, Mike, you're not wrong in saying it was a good effort, because it was. I know it does sound cliche to say, but it was a good effort. And the thing that impressed me the most about last night, the Hawks haven't really, at the last few years, haven't been known as a physical team. Like, this wouldn't be one of the games that they would be in. Like, a knockdown, physical, drag-out fight isn't something the Hawks, you know, are accustomed to playing. They're used to playing fast and, you know, more of a finesse game. But they showed they get down and dirty with a Detroit team that is very physical, with Jalen Duren down low. And, yes, they got dominated on the glass, and that needs to be fixed. But all in all, I'm very proud of what the Hawks put on the floor last night.
Well, and the Hawks will play again tomorrow night at home against the Clippers. Pregame is set for 7 right here on 92.9 The Game, and tip is set for 7:30.
You know, when you look back at the SEC championship game, I think the first thing that comes to mind is, if you are as old as I am, you're in your 40s like me, you think of some of the classics that Florida and Alabama played in the 90s. But there's Georgia and Alabama's got a couple of classics, in recent past, even dating back to, you know, 2012.
Yep.
So I'm going to start with my honorable mention, and it's not really, to me, it's what Georgia fans remember the most from the game. Alabama fans probably remember the 2018 SEC championship game. This is an honorable mention where Tua goes out and Jalen Hurts comes in. You're what, down like 21-7. And Jalen leads you back opposite, almost the exact opposite of what happened in the championship game. What, less than a year earlier in the same building. But the play Georgia fans remember is the fake punt with Justin Fields.
It's the foot of Jake Camarda. And it's a fake. Justin Fields.
Oh, my gosh. It was 4th and 11.
Alabama's going to take over at the 48-yard line.
They kept their defense out there. They're playing defense safe. Justin Fields is right here. They were ready for it. They played defense safe, and they had no chance on the first down. A risk,
wow,
to say the least.
Yeah, probably one of the worst fakes in the history of championship games.
There are thousands of Kirby Smart highlights in his career. This is not going to make the list when it's all said and done.
Yeah, that was, for the record, that was 4th and 11 from, I think, your own 48, and there was 3 minutes left in the game, tied at 28.
Woof.
Alabama went on to win 35-28. All right, let's now get into the top five.
Number five.
So I had fun with this list because it took me down memory lane, but the game and the moment that kicked off the Nick Saban SEC dominance, and it's not at Alabama, guys. It was at LSU. And to this point in the game, this is 2001, at this point in the SEC championship game, it had never kept a team from playing for the national title. But Matt Mock and Nick Saban had different thoughts for that Tennessee team.
First down and 10 after that 9-yard gain. Here's the snap. And the quarterback draw, Mark, inside the 10, the 5. LSU has reclaimed the lead.
Ended up being a pretty sideways game, too.
It ended up being, I think it ended up like a 31-20, I believe, something like that.
Oh, wow.
But that was number two Tennessee. Remember, Tennessee played Florida Remember, everything got pushed back a week because of 9/11?
Yeah.
And Florida and Tennessee played essentially for the SEC championship game in Gainesville. Tennessee wins. They go there. This is an upstart LSU team. Matt Mock is more known for being a baseball player.
Yeah.
And
good point.
Unbelievable, you know, that Saban, that was when it was a welcome to the Nick Saban era of the SEC for me. Yeah. That's why I put it in there.
It's a good one.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
One.
Number four.
All right, these two teams, I talked about how many great games they played. Florida and Alabama. This was essentially what started Florida's little bit. I mean, they won in 93, but the 94 game, you know, Danny Werfel throws a pick, and then they get the ball back, and he engineers a 10-play, 80-yard drive that had everything in it from fourth and ones to trick place.
Fourth and a yard and a half, and they're going. Baylor. He broke the tackle.
Great effort.
Broke the tackle and made the first down. He got away from Ozell Powell. Right, they're moving the wideouts around, shifting them here, putting them there. It is second down and a long
There's
run.
The pass.
And the same thing. They throw it downfield. And goal Gators, Alabama 2. Touchdown, Doring. Florida back to the lead.
Wonder what that guy's doing now.
Doring? Oh, yeah. I thought you meant Keith Jackson. I was like, wait.
No, Keith Jackson. Yeah, that's not. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Doring. Yeah, SEC Network, man.
I love it.
So the first play was a fourth and one, Fred Taylor. Who was a young Fred Taylor, by the way.
Yep, ding.
Fourth and one, and then Werfel throws it back to Doring and throws a pass, gets him to the two, and then Doring catches a touchdown. 10 plays, 80 yards, and it was just, dude, those two teams, the 24-23 was a final. Unbelievable.
Number three.
I'm sorry, Georgia fans, that I'm doing this to you guys because there are some games, but this game in 2012 was one of the best we ever saw in the SEC championship game. Probably Mark Richt's best chance at winning a national title, but it wasn't meant to be.
Murray. No, he's got a man. Lynch. 15 seconds. They're going to get two throws to the end zone. They can clock this ball right now, meaning ground it, or they can run a hurry-up play. The clock has started.
12 seconds to go. Murray got it, but the clock is running.
That's the one thing he didn't want to do.
Game over. Alabama faces Notre Dame for the national championship in Miami.
If you're unfamiliar, that is Chris Conley catches it, Paulding County kid. Chris Conley catches it and falls down. It was a tip pass. Kirby Smart got his own his own team there. It just was the one thing you couldn't do.
Yeah.
And it's just situational awareness a little bit. You know, drop it
Tough moment, man. Tough
but
moment.
But it sucked because
crazy.
I thought Georgia was going to score. Georgia plays Alabama. I mean, they play Notre Dame in the national title if that doesn't happen. They probably win it. So unbelievable. All right.
Number two.
This one is very familiar to another person in this room. Tim Tebow and the Gators in 2008, they took a page from Mike Johnson, Mark Ingram, and Nick Saban's Alabama team, and they go on an 11-play drive, 10 of them run plays.
Demps is behind Tebow. Blitz threatened, blitz coming. Option inside, Hernandez, the tight end, first and goal, Florida. And it's Demps behind Tebow on second down. The pitch, Demps strolls in, touchdown, Florida. They reclaim the lead.
It was 20-17 when that drive started.
They were so good.
Florida goes up 24-20. They ended up scoring again. That was a hell of a game. That game was really good.
Yeah, the moment where we went up 20-17, I acted a complete fool in the end zone. They ran the ball right. Mark ran the ball right behind me. I absolutely lost my mind. I was like, we're not losing the lead now, baby. Let's go. And we did.
Yeah. What an unbelievable game. And finally.
Number one.
Look, I couldn't. There's one play I think about in the SEC Championship game, and this one hurts me. It is the OG game in Legion Field, 1992. And that's a team that Alabama went on to play Miami in the national championship and just absolutely run through them. But they wouldn't have been there without this play.
Alabama defense has got to stand up right here.
Well, it's the best against the best. Matthews holds 14 SEC record, and you're going against the number one defense in the country.
First, let's settle this one, and that's a cracking good one as Matthews goes back and throws. Intercepted by Lightham. He's on his way. Touchdown, Alabama.
This is his sixth interception of the year, his 12th career interception, and his third touchdown.
Alabama wins the
Antonio Langham was unbelievable. He had an interception in that national championship game in New Orleans. That's the greatest moment to me in SEC championship game history because it just, dude, that was the game. Final score in that game was 35-28. 28-21. Florida had stormed back from down 21-7 to tie the game. Langham's touchdown makes it 28-21. That's the game. Those are your top five SEC championship game moments.
Nice work.
Got a lot to weigh in on here. Coming up, we've got the wake-up call. Give us your good, bad, and the ugly of the Falcons-Jets game. There's a lot to choose from there. Or if you want to relive some SEC championship moments, call in with yours. Weigh in on Bo's Top 5 Tuesday, 404-726-0929. The wake-up call is next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid, the audience is growing, but the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.